to the mid-50s near the ocean. Wind will be light and variable in the morning, southeast 10 to 15 miles per hour in the afternoon. Sunday night, cloudy with a slight chance of rain by Monday morning, the low around 50. This is Long Island's first station of the 90s, WUSB, Stony Brook.
Stardate May 4th. Earth's moon used to have active volcanoes, but the moon's volcanoes are thought to have been extinct for millions of years. Still, people who look through telescopes sometimes report activity on the moon. On today's date, in the year 1783, a red glow was seen near the lunar crater Aristarchus. The famous astronomer William Herschel reported this event and others in the course of his career. He guessed that the peculiar moon glows stemmed from erupting volcanoes. The crater Aristarchus is notorious for this kind of activity. Red glows have been observed here many times. A famous incident occurred in 1969, just as the Apollo 11 spacecraft went into orbit around the moon. Mission Control Center in Houston received word that amateur astronomers reported a glow in the vicinity of Aristarchus. Neil Armstrong was asked to check it out. Peering from the window of the spacecraft, he saw an illuminated area. He wasn't sure, but he thought he was looking at Aristarchus. Today we call these events lunar transient phenomena. They can be brightenings, darkenings, red or blue colorations, or places on the moon that appear to be obscured by something. Some astronomers dismiss these events. They think they're caused by Earth's atmosphere, or changes in the light on the moon, or that they're outright illusions. Others are convinced that the events are real. And that's the mystery. Is the moon a geologically dead world or not? If the glows don't stem from geologic activity, what else could they be? Maybe sunlight interacting with lunar soil, or high-energy solar particles impacting the moon. For now, no one knows. For May 4th, that's star date. And for the McDonald Observatory, I'm Joel Plum.
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in
has been disconnected.
Hello, this is...
Möchten Sie etwas zu trinken haben?
Push 0 5 5 4 3 3
Please dial the extension you would like to leave a message for, and then push pound.
Five,
or enter the last name, followed by first name, until recognized.
Two,
to transfer out of phone mail, push
did you
zero.
Say nine?
Just hold on a second.
If you do not push a key in 5 seconds, you will be disconnected.
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
Good evening, Vice President Nixon.
Good evening, Mr. Howe.
Welches sind die Regenbogenfarben?
If you do not push a key in 3 seconds, you will be disconnected.
Mein Bruder ist jünger als ich.
Welcome to account information. This car will cost 20 cents. Please enter your charge number now.
Brain damage, Eric Corley in here, and Jim Weiner, are you over there?
Yes, hi. How are you doing?
Yeah, we successfully did that. I'm just fine. I'm just fine.
Good.
Yeah, this is one of these days where I feel just great, just amazing. How about you?
Glad. I'm okay.
Yeah. Slam bang classical show you did there. So,
thank you. Thank you very much. I enjoyed it.
I hope you were rocking Long Island with Rachmaninoff or whatever.
Actually, it was Prokofiev.
Uh-huh.
We were provoking Long Island with Prokofiev.
Provoking unrest.
Right.
No, zu trinken haben.
Well, irregardless of that, the important thing is that we're here tonight on this Saturday, and Jim, we've kept you here a little bit longer than you want to be here because, share something with the folks. So we may have already shared. We were talking about this. We might have already shared it during Radiothon, but it's something that I think is rather interesting. And
so, dies ist viel besser.
And something that we're going to say in English, not German. Regarding train service here at Stony Brook.
Yes.
Or here on Long Island, really. It's kind of going to affect everybody in some way.
But we have to emphasize that this is, at the moment, rumor.
It's a rumor, but it's an official USB rumor. So I want you to remember that. This is a USB rumor, and if this rumor comes true, you heard it here. You didn't hear it in Newsday. You didn't hear it in the New York Times. You didn't hear it on any of those other radio stations. You didn't hear it on those TV stations we've got. You didn't hear it on the Citizens Band radio. You didn't hear it in the mall. You didn't hear it in the taxi or the bus or even the train. You didn't hear it anyplace else except here.
And if it turns out to be false, you didn't
forget
hear it on the USB either.
Forget you heard it if it's wrong. But if it's right, remember where you heard it because it's likely that we're going to come up with some other rumor in the future, and it would sure be nice if people would pay attention to it. All right. I think we've said all we have to say.
I think so. Oh, should we tell them what the rumor is?
That would be a good idea.
Oh, okay.
I'm not really
okay.
here.
Okay.
Okay. Well, how do we do this? This is a biggie, folks. This is something that you know, it's not just a, you know, a rumor like, you know, so and so sleeping with whom. You know, we don't. Besides us, we don't do that on this show.
No, that's for sure. But actually, well, maybe we should just. Maybe we should preface it by talking about the service change in Amtrak in what they call the Empire Corridor, trains that go up through Albany.
I think you're just giving the whole thing away by bringing Amtrak up in the first place.
Well,
I would have done it by saying, you know, talk about the Long Island Railroad a little bit. I mean, what someone's going to say now, why is he talking about Amtrak? We're talking about Long Island.
Well, that'll pique people's interest.
Well,
though,
I think you just gave away the whole damn thing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well,
okay. Well, I'm going to go home. I'll see you.
You might as well.
Okay. Oh, well,
do that.
That's how it goes.
All right, look.
In two sentences
or less. He's taking off his headphones, so he can't hear a word I'm saying now. Well, that's just fine with me.
I don't know. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he's not really that angry. Let me see.
You stupid cretin. You moron. You fool. You imbecile.
Maybe I will be going. No, I may as well.
Keep your headphones on so you can hear what I'm saying. Now, okay, in two sentences or less, what is Amtrak doing on the west side? They're doing something weird. They built new tracks or something like that.
Yeah,
and they're going out of Penn Station instead of Grand Central.
Yeah.
Did I say it all? Is there any need to
you
go
did.
Any
that's
further
it.
Than this?
That's it.
That's what they're doing. Okay,
that's
so
it.
As far as most of our listeners are concerned, Amtrak has moved its operations pretty much completely from Grand Central to Penn Station.
That's correct.
Okay, now, how does that affect us here?
Well, rumor has it.
Rumor has it. And this is a USB rumor, I might add.
WUSB rumor has it that there will be a train... An Amtrak train that, after leaving Albany and going south and ending up in Penn Station...
It will make a left turn.
Yeah, it will not terminate at Penn Station. It will continue, WUSB rumor has it, over Long Island Railroad trackage east to Port Jefferson.
To Port Jefferson.
And I think part of the rumor is that the stops it'll make are after Penn Station are Jamaica, Mineola, Hicksville, Huntington, and Port Jefferson.
Which I think is really stupid, because if they skip Stony Brook, they goes all the Stony Brook to Albany traffic that there would no doubt be between the two university areas and things like that. So, you know, if there's people out there considering this, and if our rumor happens to be correct, or if this rumor has spawned somebody to think about doing this, Stony Brook should be included, because a lot of people will get... I mean, they'll have to get off at Port Jefferson and take a taxi.
That's right, I would
or
think so.
Or get off at Port Jefferson and then hop on a train going in the exact opposite direction.
Or get off at Huntington and have to take the train all the way east to Stony Brook. So it makes much more sense, I think...
And then that train will be behind the one that's in front of it.
That's right. It makes much more sense to...
I don't know how they're going to do that, because it's a single track in a lot of areas, you know, and we have enough trouble with Long Island Railroad trains not being able to get by each other. Now they're going to be blaming Amtrak for all the problems.
Let's see, it is all still single... Is it all still
here
it
track? Is.
Between Huntington and Port Jeff?
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Okay, then maybe it'll be like once a day.
Once a day, huh?
Yeah,
just like one of those little towns in the Midwest.
Well,
there's some places in the country where a train only runs twice a week.
Yes.
You miss the train, and you are out of luck.
Yes.
To coin a phrase.
That's right.
Really out of luck.
Very true.
Really, really, really out of luck. Yeah, I mean, it's not like missing a subway, which I almost did last night.
Did you?
I almost missed a subway.
Oh.
I'll get into that later on.
Okay.
But, yeah, that would be exciting. Wouldn't it to see Amtrak trains go rattling down the old Port Jefferson line? Huh?
I'll see.
And I bet, you know, I'll bet they honk their horns differently. I bet they, they certainly look different. You know, they're
yes.
silver.
Yes. And then maybe it'll include one of those large window turbo...
Now you just mentioned that you saw a little model for the kinds of trains we're going to get.
Like actually, it wasn't a model; it was a real train.
You saw a real train?
Yes, at Jamaica Station yesterday. I was taking Long Island Railroad, and as I was passing through Jamaica Station, I saw on some a few tracks down a double decker, a very spanking brand new train, a double-decker type train. Now, the Long Island Railroad used to have double-decker cars, but this is not one of those old double-decker trains. This is brand new design, silver type of color, a busy signal suddenly appeared in my headphones.
Your imagination.
I have no idea. Yeah, I must be dreaming. And it was sitting in Jamaica Station, and later I saw it moving,
out of Jamaica Station. It had an engine in front and an engine in back, the old push-pull operation, which obviates the need to have to turn an engine around when it gets to the end of the line. And in the middle were several of these cars, and it had double-decker seating, because I saw it, two levels of windows, so I'm sure that meant it's a double-decker style. And on the front of the train, it had the lettering Metropolitan Transportation Authority. And then in...
Hey, man, Bob Dylan's coming to town.
Sorry. I guess he just felt like stopping in and saying that.
I think it's very nice. I think it's very exciting, very exciting news. Perhaps he'll take a double-decker train into Stony Brook. And
it's kids, you know?
I know. What are you going to do, these young people today? And also on the train, it said Long Island Railroad, with the traditional older spelling of the word railroad as two words, which I really like, which Long Island Railroad generally retains from its... days of founding in 1834, but this lettering was on this brand new train.
So the fare was in 1834.
Let's see,
peak fare.
The peak. I don't know if there was peak or off peak fares in 1834. I don't even know if there were weekly or monthly fares, okay, because they might have not have known how long the thing was going to last. But no. Actually, I'm sure they intended it to last for a long time.
They used to have ferries. I'll have you know. They used
that's
to have
right.
ferries that came from New York City and would make little stops like in Northport and Port Jefferson, mm-hmm. and they just sort of like come out. And it was, a neat day to spend on the boat.
It was a very extensive system. In 1914, Long Island Railroad was at its peak in terms of extensive service. And
Bob Dylan, it's Stony Brook. You got to be there, man.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Bring the dogs back into this place. Keep the riffraff out.
And... yeah, they had steamboats and trains and trolleys. Quite
airplanes.
Something. I don't know if the Long Island Railroad had airplanes.
Oh, no, I guess not. Sorry, that was a misconstruence on my part.
Yes.
Or whatever. Well, okay, this has been fascinating because we sort of have been predicting the future and sort of delving into the past as well. And
that's, right.
That's always fun to do both.
Indeed.
But now we're going to go back to the present.
Oh, for me, you shouldn't have. Present.
No.
I'm
we're
sorry.
Going back to the present.
Oh.
And we're going overseas now.
Ah.
Going overseas to the Magic Kingdom of the Soviet Union. We'll be hearing all kinds of answers to your questions. Yes, your questions. You've been writing your questions into Radio Moscow, haven't you? And saying you're listening to Moscow Mailbag on this radio station. I sure hope so, because I want to hear somebody's name on Moscow Mailbag, and I want to hear them say that they listen to WUSB. It's not asking too much, is it, Jim?
No.
I mean, you know, it's a letter. You write a letter.
Yeah.
And the address is Radio Moscow, Moscow, the USSR. That's really the whole address. It's very easy to remember.
And oh, definitely.
It's, something like 40 cents postage, so I think people can manage that. Anyway, this week's edition is coming to you almost any second now on the tape machine here. Jim, we will see you soon, huh?
Yes.
Are you going to be a part of this musical thing tomorrow?
Yes, I will. Very much looking forward to it.
Okay, that's with Rob Franz and Gary Pecorino. It begins at 12:30 and runs until, when do you think it runs till?
5:30,
okay. And there'll be all kinds of live presentations.
Spur-of-the-moment stuff,
yeah.
Really interesting.
Yeah, so if you don't have anything planned for Sunday, plan this. Be a good idea. Jim, I'll probably see you tomorrow then.
Yes,
all right.
By all means.
Now, let's stay tuned for Moscow Mailbag here on Brain Damage. And we'll be back. We'll be back later on, taking phone calls, and we have some of our regular features coming your way. So, don't touch anything.
This is your program, Moscow Mailbag. Well, Joe, time to tackle those questions again. The first one today from Peter Crutchmaluk of North York, Ontario, Canada. Would it be possible to build a railroad tunnel across the Bering Strait between the Soviet Union and Alaska?
If the tunnel between England and France was the subject of discussion for no end of years, I guess we ought to give this some thought before we undertake a project of this magnitude. You ask, is it possible? Well, technically, I suppose it is. You know, several years ago, or rather quite a few years ago, there was a project to build a bridge across the Bering Strait. Our engineers thought this quite feasible. You and the States could have had a direct rail link with Europe and Asia. But mind you, even today we have no railroad to the Bering Strait. The idea was also to build a high-speed, wide-gauge railroad that would practically encircle the world. But of course the question arises, and I think this is the main question, is it economically worth it? Would it be a paying proposition?
Is it possible to fly from Alaska to the USSR directly?
Well, up until now, there were chartered flights, but beginning with June 17th, Alaska Airlines are starting regular flights from Anchorage to Magadan in East Siberia and Khabarovsk, which is on the Amur River on the Chinese border. I understand that about 150 tickets are being booked daily for these flights already now.
Peter tells us you have a river in Siberia which is frost-free. What's the name of this famous river?
I'm sorry, but I've never heard of a river that does not freeze in Siberia. The surface of the rivers is icebound for many months, from October to April or May, actually. But in the far north, they are icebound for longer periods, up to 8 months of the year. And, you know, shallow rivers sometimes freeze solid. But we do have a port beyond the Arctic Circle that is ice-free the year-round. It is Murmansk in the Barents Sea, right next to the Norwegian border. The reason it remains ice-free is because the warm Gulf Stream reaches that far out. And during World War II, Murmansk became famous because it received the caravans from our allies bringing us lend-lease aid.
Dr. George Angel of Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania writes, concerning Jewish immigration, do you want to damage the West by suddenly letting out so many people?
Dr. Angel, in answering you, I have mixed feelings. First, we were accused, and quite rightly, of not letting the Jews go. Now that all barriers have been lifted, the United States put up a barrier, a quota of 50,000 a year. We don't let them go, it's bad. Now we let them go, it is also bad. So what do you want us to do? We'll soon be adopting a law, incidentally, on freedom of exit and entry. Yes, and some countries are afraid that there might be an influx of Soviet immigrants in general. But these countries will easily protect themselves by various immigration laws and quotas, I have no doubt.
How come the Arabs hijacked a Russian plane when you let 1 million Soviet Jews go to Israel?
No one here, my good friend, has heard of Arabs hijacking a Russian plane. Besides, 1 million have so far not left, but the figure may reach that 1 million.
Now, do these Jews, and anybody, I suppose, have the right to return to Russia?
Well, a few that had left have returned, and not only Jews. There is one great problem, mind you, and that is housing. Besides, with the economic situation what it is, let's face it, they may not want to return. But the new law will definitely allow people to come and go. Under Brezhnev, many people had been forcibly deported, deprived of their citizenship. Well, they too now either come back for a visit or return for good.
Now, he also says that you take away their jobs, houses, possessions on short notice. What about that, Joe?
I'm afraid our friend is not right. Today, they are not deprived of their jobs. But I will admit, this was so formerly. Now, you say their homes are taken away. Well, if you stay in a hotel, for instance, and you leave and you vacate the room, and it's not yours anymore, right? It's the same thing here. Don't forget, most of our city dwellers live in government-owned apartments. Naturally, if they emigrate, in other words, if they leave for good, the apartment is vacated and they lose it. Now, where did you get the idea that they're deprived of their possessions? As for everything being done on short notice, they get 6 months' notice. Yes, there are things they cannot take out, like new products in large quantities, new imported furniture, for instance. They're allowed to take out jewelry worth 5,000 rubles per person. Incidentally, I know plenty of families that have left and are ready to leave in a month or two. I did not hear any major gripes. This is a fact. Before, yes. It was the biggest gripe was that they were not being let out.
Over to Hicksville in the state of New York now, and Andrew Arico, I believe, or Arco, I'm very sorry. Do you know, Joe, I've never found so many names, difficult names, except on this program, Moscow Mailbag. Okay, anyway, he asked, do you have a lottery in Russia?
Do we? Sport Lotto is the most popular, and it's about 20 years old already. Putting it in a nutshell, it resembles a numbers game. Our lotteries are so popular that they bring in a profit of about $2.5 billion annually. That's according to the official rate of exchange. The money from Sport Lotto, incidentally, goes to promote sports in the widest sense of the word. And I think this would interest you. Half the profit goes to the winners. Some of the winnings are in the form of cars, incidentally. 3 years ago, a man from the island of Sakhalin out in the Pacific won what would amount to $160,000 on two tickets. Some of the winnings are in the form of a tour to Italy. By the way, some of the winners went to the Goodwill Games in the United States not so long ago. Let me summarize. It is safe to say that there are dozens of lotteries, like the lottery where you can win, well, all kinds of durable goods like washing machines, home computers, videos, and so on. And these lotteries return 60% to the winner. We also have what I call instant lotteries. You open an envelope, and with every fourth ticket, there's a winner. Some of our lotteries, I think this is important, go to help care for sick children.
My question, Joe, do you ever play lotteries?
No. I stay clear of games like that.
Okay. Over to Florida now, and the city of Tampa. Sue Doran writes, my son would like to know how much it snows in Moscow.
Well, you can tell Timmy we here in Moscow get about as much snow as they get in Baltimore or Kansas City, about 14 inches annually. But the last two winters were freaky. No heavy frosts and much rain and slush. The average January temperature in Moscow is 13 degrees Fahrenheit. You can tell Timmy I've been to Florida and found it most pleasant in winter. Also tell him that in Central Asia, in the sands of Karakum, you can bake an egg. The thermometer there sometimes rises to 122 degrees Fahrenheit.
Sue goes on to say, my daughter asks, do Russian children go to kindergarten?
Why, yes, certainly, because most of their mothers work. Although I would personally like Mum to stay at home and bring up the kids. Then they wouldn't have to go to kindergarten. Mrs. Derry, our problem is that there are not enough kindergartens. Nevertheless, something like 17 million people do attend kindergarten, and I think it's worth telling you that the bulk of the cost is footed by the government. The kids play games, and in the form of games, they learn to read, write, count, they learn to draw, sing, and to dance.
Over to Kenosha, Wisconsin now, a letter from Edward Sandberg. Is it possible that nuclear nations are ready to use nuclear bombs without a thought of the consequences?
Today, I don't think the major nuclear powers would ever resort to nuclear weapons. As for the consequences, just look at the mess one explosion at the Chernobyl nuclear power plant made. We still have not overcome the consequences. Mind you, the danger lies not only in the use of nuclear weapons, but in a conventional war, too. The bombing of nuclear power plants is just as bad. In France, about three-quarters of the electricity, don't forget, is produced by nuclear plants. And don't forget, it's not only the major powers that have nuclear weapons. They say that Israel has them and South Africa, too. I don't know whether this is correct, but that's what's been written in the media. To conclude, I'll say that we must both work towards a total elimination of nuclear weapons and, what is very important, their non-proliferation.
David Keith Callender writes from Richmond, Kentucky. Joe, what's the favorite hobby in Moscow?
Standing in line at the stores. It all depends, of course, what you call a hobby. Do I include pastimes and sports or not? Well, in summer, mushroom hunting is very popular. Photography, reading, watching television. The oldsters, the senior citizens, love to play dominoes. Other people like to, I don't know whether you can call this a hobby or not, to keep a dog or a cat. The young boy upstairs where I live, in the apartment house, goes in for Oriental martial arts. His sister studies dancing. Well, many Muscovites love to grow flowers and fruit at their dachas or summer homes.
John Lefeu of Rockford, Tennessee. Does the Soviet Union have local radio stations? And if so, are these stations on AM or the FM bands?
We do have local radio stations on AM, not as many as you do, for the simple reason that yours have multiplied because of commercialism. The local stations in the republics here usually relay at least two Moscow programs, plus two or three of their own programs, plus an FM musical channel. I think it's safe to say that every family here has either a radio set, most of them with short waves, or a cable radio set, or both. Cable radio in most cities has three channels. At home, broadcasts are conducted in 68 languages of our country. As for FM transmitters, we have them in over 1,000 cities, stereo broadcasts in 122 cities.
What kinds of programs do they broadcast?
Well, what could they broadcast? Local news, local discussions, local talent, music. By the way, some very talented local commentators and musicians.
Nathan McNeil of Calimesa, California. If I visited your country, what areas should I visit?
Moscow, Leningrad with its historical monuments and beautiful museums. Well, if not Leningrad, then Kiev in the Ukraine with its tree-lined streets, and perhaps one of the Central Asian republics with their oriental flavor, mosques, medrasés, or perhaps Georgia in the Caucasus, famous for its hospitality, its wines, its fiery dances and spicy cuisines. Each has its own flavor.
What are the Soviet teenagers' favorite pastimes?
Well, I think I've already answered that in the previous question. But in summer, I guess it's swimming, boating, hiking, camping, soccer and volleyball. In winter, it's cross-country skiing and hockey.
The last question today from Nathan. And on the program, do you help coordinate pen pals with people in your country?
If you want a pen pal, our letters department will help you contact one in our country.
Joe Adamoff there. Thank you, Joe. Answering your questions on Moscow Mailbag. And don't forget, address your letters to the North American Service, Radio Moscow, Moscow, the USSR. As usual, you couldn't do better than write us that letter. Your comments on this show are welcome. Mailbag's on the air every Saturday, Sunday, and Wednesday. And please note the times to the East Coast at 2310 and 0210 UTC, and to the West Coast at 0410 and 0610 UTC.
Hey, man, Bob Dylan's coming to town, and he's coming on May 7th. That's right, man, believe it. Stony Brook Concerts in association with Ron Delton and Larry Vaughn, man. They're putting this thing together. So get down there. Tickets are $17 with the student ID, $22.50 for the public. And they're available at the Stony Brook box office and the Ticketmaster for all locations. You can charge it by phone by calling 888-9-GRAND, man. The show starts at 8 o'clock, and it's at the brand new indoor sports complex on the campus of State University at Stony Brook. For more information, you can check out the box office at 632-6464.
They stone you when you're trying to go home. They stone you when you're there all alone.
Bob Dylan at Stony Brook, you gotta be there, man.
I don't have to be anywhere. I'll just have that gentleman know that. But you might want to be at Bob Dylan Tuesday night. Could be fun. Might suck, but it could be fun. You never know at this place. You just never know. Well, this is Brain Damage. It's 10:37, if we're to believe this digital clock here, which so far has been good to us. And time to take a look at the news. Thanks for doing that, Jim. Thanks for bringing that box in. Thank you very much.
No problem.
We'll see you in 3 weeks or
right, I'll
whenever.
See you tomorrow.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Take care.
Okay, I'll have that to look forward to. Good night. Jim Wiener, ladies and gentlemen. Jim Wiener stepping out. Well, you heard the news. The White House says President Bush is relaxed and comfortable and in good condition at Bethesda Naval Hospital. He was hospitalized this afternoon with what's been diagnosed as an irregular heartbeat after he experienced shortness of breath while jogging. Actually, I saw the news conference where Marlon Fitzwater was describing what was going on. And Bush called up in the middle of the press conference. He called to answer a question. Someone had asked how long he had been jogging before he felt shortness of breath. And Marlon Fitzwater didn't know. And then about 5 minutes later, he said, oh, I've just been passed a note. And President Bush says 35 to 40 minutes. It's amazing what mass communications can do. So that's what's going on there. Now, something else which has been happening, which I'm sure you've been aware of over the last few days. The government of Bangladesh estimates the total cost of emergency aid following Tuesday's typhoon will be about $56 million. Actually, I've heard figures well into the billions. I'm not quite sure where they got $56 million. Donations are needed to provide safe drinking water, medicine, and food, shelter for about 10 million people left homeless. You know, this Associated Press machine doesn't even bother to mention that 125,000 people died from a cyclone, which, if I understand it correctly, and please, if someone out there, fill me in on the details if I'm mistaken here. Now, you have these things called cyclones, you have these things called hurricanes, you have these things called typhoons. From what I understand, from what I'm told by various people who claim to know what they're talking about, they're all the same. The only thing that's the only difference between a cyclone, a typhoon, and a hurricane is where they take place. You get hurricanes here, you get typhoons over there, or something to that effect. But the weird thing is, they're referring to what happened in Bangladesh is both a cyclone and a typhoon. So, in fact, it says right here in today's New York Times, the headline, official toll reaches 92,000 in Bangladesh cyclone. First of all, that death toll is low now. It keeps going up by the hour, it seems. And in the first sentence of the story, they say 4 days after a typhoon. So, you have to wonder. Actually, the Times, to their credit, gave a description of just what I was going on about a second ago. Different names for the storms is what they call this little piece. Cyclones, typhoons, and hurricanes are the same kind of violent tropical storm, a spiral of high winds and heavy rain, but the names differ depending on where the storms occur. Winds of at least 74 miles an hour near the center of the storm constitute a hurricane, the term used for the North Atlantic, Eastern North Pacific, and Western South Pacific. Typhoon is the usual term for the China Sea and Western North Pacific. Cyclone is used for such a storm in the Arabian Sea, the Bay of Bengal, and the South Indian Ocean, but the word is also used colloquially in the Middle West of the United States to describe a tornado, a spiral of high winds. So that's why a lot of people think that a cyclone is a tornado, which it really is not, according to this definition. But again, the Times doesn't seem to know which one to use either, because they call it a typhoon and a cyclone, even though it can't be both. It has to be one or the other. And I believe, according to what they say here, cyclone is the thing that you're supposed to call it. Of course, this all doesn't matter, does it? The fact is, 125,000 people so far, they expect it to reach over 200,000, wiped out in a single storm. I mean, we can't even conceive of this. We have no possibility of conceiving. I mean, we had what, a hurricane a couple of years ago, pretty severe one that hit the Carolina coast. And, wow, how many people died there? Like 100? 500? 100? 50? What? Whatever it was, it seemed like a major catastrophe. And, you know, when planes crash and 250 people die, it's like, you know, cancel all the news, cancel all the programs, put news programs on instead, and front page headlines and all that, and weeks and weeks of follow-up stories. This is 125,000 people. And, you know, much as I disagree with the things Bush says, I'm kind of hoping that we don't get quail anytime soon. But watching this on TV makes you wonder, you know, we're sitting around talking about this guy's irregular heartbeat. And yeah, he's the president. Okay, he's the president, but he's still one human life. One human life. And they're canceling network programs, doing half-hour specials. And then you have 125,000 people wiped out in this far part of the world that we don't know about. And they're all just gone. We have no way of grasping that. And what I've been thinking is, you know, if... At first, you know, when I heard the reports, I heard of a cyclone and a typhoon. I said to myself, well, that's something that we'd never get here. It's one of those crazy storms that they only get there, you know. We don't get cyclones and typhoons and monsoons and that kind of thing. I didn't know at the time that it was the same thing as a hurricane. So, if you have a hurricane hit Long Island with winds of 135 miles an hour, how many people do you think would die? I mean, we had something, I don't think it was quite that severe, but something back in the 40s. And I think about a couple of hundred people died. That was back then. We're much better prepared now. So we could probably survive a hurricane with winds of 135, 150 miles an hour without much of a problem. We could probably survive tidal waves because we'd know they were coming, and we'd get out of the way. We'd be warned. So, this is how my thoughts conclude here. If you have the same kind of environmental incident, the same kind of storm, and the only thing that determines whether or not 100 people die or 125,000 people die is the way they live, the standard of living, the backwardness or advancement of their particular culture technologically, then we've got an incredible and a very dangerous gap in this world. If the gap is that wide, where a storm like this can wipe out untold numbers of people, and not for the first time either. I understand back in 1970, 500,000 people died in a similar storm. It's like we're living on two different planets, you know? Two different planets. How long can that go on? And what's really frustrating is we can't do anything about it. I keep hearing about how it's just impossible to help these people. You can't get supplies over there. You just can't do it fast enough to keep them from contracting diseases. And that's what's really sad, that we've developed all this technology to destroy people and to win wars and things like that. But when people need help, there's nothing we can do. In the New York Times today, story datelined Patenga, Bangladesh. 4 days after a typhoon of unimaginable fury swung across the flat coastal plains of southeastern Bangladesh, swallowing up villages and sweeping away food crops, almost no emergency supplies have reached the newly destitute, relief officials and villagers have said. And squalls continue to hit Bangladesh, making it all the more difficult. And see if there's any other things you might not know about this. Well, let me give out some addresses in the hopes that some of you will feel motivated to help out in some way. We've got the American Red Cross, Box 37243, Washington, D.C., 20013, and I'll give one more, because hopefully you'll just all make it over there somehow anyway. World Relief Corporation, Box WRC, Wheaton, Illinois, 60189. And that's most incredible story. I don't know how many people have actually thought about this, but it's been bugging me all week, you know? I just see it building up. I was listening to the radio, you know, all week, and at first it was, wow, it looks like up to 10,000 people might have died. Now it's up to 25,000, then it was 50. Now, it just seems to be no limit. There seems to be no limit. After a while, you just become numb to it. So they could say, oh yeah, a million people died. And it doesn't mean anything anymore. So, when it happens in some far part of the world, it's the second story behind the president's heart palpitations, which is an important story. I'm not saying it's not, but look at the contrast in the in ways of life and the things that we expect, the things that we get. We're going to have, on a much lighter note, actually maybe not on a much lighter note, depending on how things go over in Bethesda. We started with the Dan Quayle quotes last week, and we're going to finish with them this week. Well, actually, you can never finish with Dan Quayle quotes, but you can try to make yourself feel better by imagining the fun that lies ahead. Okay, enough said. Something that will bring back a bit of a memory, something I totally forgot about. Remember I mentioned that 500,000 people died back in... Oh, where is this? I pulled it out so it would be all ready for the... Oh, here it is. Yes, 500,000 people died back in 1970, I believe. Now, here's a little bit of background here. Almost a quarter of a century ago, in August of 1947, the state of Pakistan was born following the departure of the British from the Indian subcontinent. It was a most unusual nation carved out of Muslim-dominated areas of India. It consisted of two wings, West Pakistan and East Pakistan. East Pakistan is now Bangladesh. And they were separated by over 1,000 miles of Indian territory. You know, India, not... Yeah, you know which Indians. I'm sure you do. Racially, linguistically, and culturally, the two Pakistans were poles apart. Tensions between the two wings developed almost immediately. Political, military, and economic power was concentrated in Urdu-speaking West Pakistan, while Bengali-speaking Bangladesh was relegated to a subordinate position in spite of the fact that it contained more than half of Pakistan's total population. Dictatorial rule by West Pakistan army officers generated discontent in both wings of Pakistan. And Bangladesh demands for a more equal treatment were consistently disregarded. In March of 1969, General Yahya Khan assumed power in Pakistan with the professed aim of ending the dictatorship and introducing democracy. In the first free election ever held in the history of Pakistan in December of 1970, the Awami, which means People's League of Bangladesh, won an overwhelming victory. It emerged as the largest party in all of Pakistan, entitling it to form Pakistan's first democratic government. Yahya Khan and the West Pakistani leadership, however, were unwilling to permit a power shift to Bangladesh or even a more equitable distribution of power. The results of the election were consequently disregarded, and in March 1971, a deliberate reign of terror was unleashed on Bangladesh to eliminate opposition to West Pakistani domination and to drastically reduce the size of the population of Bangladesh. An estimated 1 million East Bengalis were murdered, and up to the present time, approximately 10 million terror-stricken East Bengalis have sought refuge in neighboring India. This is undoubtedly the greatest atrocity since Hitler's extermination of the Jews. And this was written in 1970. And that's a bit that was put on the album, The Concert for Bangladesh. Do you remember that? The Concert for Bangladesh was a benefit by George Harrison and friends. Actually, August 1st, 1971 was when the concert was held. It was held at Madison Square Garden in New York. Interesting, on the back they give a picture of a check in the amount of $243,418.50. Payable to the United Nations Children's Fund for Relief to Refugee Children of Bangladesh. A country with a rather short history, but what a tragic one. Well, let's hear a bit of the concert, and then we'll come back and do some Dan Quayle bits, among other things. Our phone number is 632-6901. You're listening to Brain Damage on WUSB, Stony Brook.
Something came to me, sadness in his eyes. Told me that he wanted help for his country.
Well, let's hope George Harrison has something planned, and maybe a bunch of us can also put our heads together. Aid officials say they expect the international community to come through for the devastated nation of Bangladesh, where a typhoon has resulted in more than 125,000 deaths. However, bad weather is hampering efforts to get emergency aid to millions of survivors who now face new dangers from starvation, disease, and poisonous snakes. Good Lord, as if you don't have enough to worry about, poisonous snakes on top of everything else. I don't know. You know what really gets me? I was thinking about this. If I was in Bangladesh and I knew there was a storm like that coming, I'm the kind of crazy person that would want to stay around and see what happened, you know, to see nature in all her glory. I mean, that's what I do when hurricanes come up here. We have no idea what it's like in other parts of the world when things like this happen. It's just, it's so amazing to me. So, keep an eye on that story, folks. Keep an eye on that story, and don't forget about it. And let's update everybody on the presidential situation. White House says President Bush experienced an irregular heartbeat, but that there was no sign he suffered a heart attack. The president suffered shortness of breath while jogging at Camp David this afternoon. He was taken by helicopter to Bethesda Naval Hospital outside Washington, where hell spend the night. No apostrophe. Where hell spend the night is what it says. One White House official says Bush is expected to be released early tomorrow morning. So I was just thinking, you know, John Chancellor or Tom Brokaw pointed out every typo that they had to read. I think it would be really amusing. Of course, it wouldn't last very long, I guess. White House spokesman Marlon Fitzwater says the president is alert, stable, and comfortable. He says Bush will be taking the medication. Oh, boy. New word, folks. Okay, it's spelled D-I-G-O-X-I-N. It's pronounced Digoxin. Digoxin. Okay. Bush will be taking the medication Digoxin for several weeks to increase the strength of his heartbeat. You know, every other word is misspelled here. This is incredible. Illiterates running our Associated Press machine. Increase spelled I-N-C-R-E-S-E. The strength of his heartbeat while decreasing its rate. If you ever listen to USB and you wonder why people sound like they can't read sometimes, it's because they're reading a foreign language. They're reading something that is being made up by people somewhere who type this stuff. And it's like phonetic language or something. The drug carries no serious side effects. Bush was diagnosed as having an atrial fibrillation. Experts say the condition is not necessarily serious, unless it is. Fitzwater says, there is no thought of transferring power to Vice President Quayle. I'd like to repeat that just to reassure everybody out there. Fitzwater says, there was no thought, repeat, no thought of transferring power to Vice President Quayle. And the Quayle quotes are here. We have the Quayle quotes. Okay, we're going to get to those. Let me just finish two sentences here and we'll get right to the Quayle quotes. Get those tape decks ready. Bush even monitored Fitzwater's nationally broadcast news briefing and called the press office to say he had been walking for about 35 minutes when he became short of breath. And Fitzwater passed that word along to reporters. And that's about enough of this. I mean, there's about twice as much space devoted to this as to what's happening in Bangladesh, which I guess I can understand to a degree, but still is disturbing. Okay, Dan Quayle, the myth, the man, the maniac. Oh, and we have tripods we have to get to. Okay, thanks for reminding me about that. And our phone number is 632-6901. We're going to be opening up the phones real soon. Tell us what you think about typhoons and things like that. Okay, these are some of the things that Dan Quayle said that we weren't able to get to last week because we were laughing too much. Let's try to maintain our composure this time. We should develop anti-satellite weapons because we could not have prevailed without them in Red Storm Rising. He did say that. Okay. Now, here he is commenting on Latin America. And I'll give you a clue as to Latin America. That's, you know, Nicaragua and El Salvador and Guatemala, those places. Latin America. The U.S. has a vital interest in that area of the country. Vice President Quayle commenting on Latin America. How about Japan? All right. Japan is an important ally of ours. Japan and the United States of the Western industrialized capacity, 60% of the GNP, two countries. That's a statement in and of itself. Guy has got a way with it. Not since Casey Stengel have I heard talk like this. Now, here he is. Remember the earthquake in 1989, San Francisco earthquake? Well, he went over to the collapsed section of the 880 freeway. And he said, well, it looks as if the top part fell on the bottom part. So we know he's alert. He and Bush are both alert. Okay. Referring to his legislative work dealing with cruise missiles, getting cruise missiles more accurate so that we can have precise precision. Addressing workers at an Ohio steel plant in 1988, Quayle said, I can identify with steel workers. I can identify with workers that have had a difficult time. And here's one I have on tape somewhere. Vice President Quayle during the Benson debate. That was a good debate. That was the only good debate. This is what he said. Now get ready for this one, folks. I will never have another Jimmy Carter grain embargo. Jimmy Carter grain embargo. That's exactly how he said it. In fact, I'm going to try to find it on tape, record that, and play it back next week so you can actually hear it. Sound like the lyrics to a song. Okay. Pertinent question here. Dan Quayle, when asked what he would do if he assumed the presidency. He's a heartbeat away, and right now he's an irregular heartbeat away. So this is a pertinent statement here. And he said this in 1988. What would he do if he assumed the presidency? Certainly, I know what to do, and when I am vice president, and I will be, there will be contingency plans under different sets of situations. And I tell you what, I'm not going to go out and hold a news conference about it. I'm going to put it in a safe and keep it there. Does that answer your question? The vice president, yes. He's also been responding to press reports that his aides have to, in effect, potty train him. And this is one of his responses. Look it, I've done it their way this far, and now it's my turn. I'm my own handler. Any questions? Ask me. There's not going to be any more handler stories because I'm the handler. I'm Dr. Spin. He also went on the record as saying, I would guess that there's adequate low-income housing in this country. How about this one? Verbosity leads to unclear, inarticulate things. The real question for 1988 is whether we're going to go forward to tomorrow or pass to the back. Amazing grasp of the language here. In awe. We're all in awe here. I notice kind of a stunned silence over our airways while we're floored. All of us are floored. Okay, 1988 again. Vice President Quayle. We will invest in our people, quality education, job opportunity, family, neighborhood, and yes, a thing we call America. And he also said, we'll let the sun shine in and shine on us, because today we're happy and tomorrow we'll be even happier. Or, this is one of my personal favorites. We're going to have the best educated American people in the world. And this is his comment on the 1988 election. This election is about who's going to be the next president of the United States. Yep, he got that. And the final quote, this is a big one here, but it's our grand finale. Our grand finale for now, anyway.
don't have any more quail quotes with me, and I expect to get some more facts to me any day now. Don't forget about the importance of the family. It begins with the family. We're not going to redefine the family. Everybody knows the definition of the family. Meaningful pause. A child. Meaningful pause. A mother. Meaningful pause. A father. There are other arrangements of the family, but that is a family and family values. I've been very blessed with wonderful parents and a wonderful family, and I am proud of my family. Anybody turns to their family. I have a very good family. I'm very fortunate to have a very good family. I believe very can't do this. He says family one more time. I'm not going to be able to handle it. I believe very strongly in the family. It's one of the things we have in our platform is to talk about it. I suppose three important things certainly come to my mind that we want to say thank you. The first would be our family. Your family, my family, which is composed of an immediate family of a wife and three children, a larger family with grandparents and aunts and uncles. We all have our family, whichever that may be. The very beginnings of civilization, the very beginnings of this country, goes back to the family. And time again, I'm often reminded, especially in this presidential campaign, of the importance of a family and what a family means to this country. And so when you pay thanks, I suppose the first thing that would come to mind would be to thank the Lord for the family. We'll go down in history as Quayle's great family speech. And that was only an excerpt of it. Yes, folks, we bring you the greatest quotes in the world sometimes. What he has done to the English language is something that scholars will be studying for centuries to come. And who knows, there'll be a whole culture of people speaking like that probably within the next century. So, sorry I won't be around to see it. But maybe some of our kids will, and they can think back on these days. We're going to be going into the tripods in a couple of minutes. Phone number is 632-6901. We also have to do a couple other features, including Stupid Questions, which is into its second week now. And people are encouraged to send in their stupid questions. We'll go more into that in just a little while. 632-6901, 11 minutes after 11 o'clock. Speaking about the English language, here's somebody who has kind of mastered it, singing to us.
Outside in Union's, the heat was almost frightening, but my hotel room as usual was freezing in a cat. On TV they prosecute anyone who's excited, so I put on my overcoat and went down to find, in Revlon and Crimplin, they captured my heart. The strain of a piano and a cocktail murderess. She was singing that it's too late. I agree with that part. The two English girls who changed their address. Oh, it seems we've been quiet for years and for years. Now we don't speak any English. It's the American without tears. It's the American without tears. Queen, and the other was a friend. They had known rogues and rascals in showbiz impresarios. While the boys were licking Hitler, they had something to defend. A man armed with chewing gum and fine nylon hose by a bicycle factory as they sounded the siren and returned into the dance hall. She knew he was. I'm the sheriff of Nottingham, and this is Little John. Oh, it seems we've been crying for years and for years.
Flirtation with the Three Village Tobacco Farms proudly presents the exciting adventures of the Tripod family, the story of one of America's most illustrious families and their struggle to find peace and happiness in the suburbs of Long Island. When we left Howard and Kathy last week, they were about to enter the sewer system of Nice with their new friend Boris to help find the prize statue. And as we look in on them, we...
This is the opening to the sewer system?
That is correct, Mr. Tripod. It looks like a regular door, but it's actually the entrance to the true underworld.
Wow. Mm. You know, it's hard to even think that there's a whole other world beneath the streets of Nice, which we're now standing on.
Mm, it's kind of eerie, don't you think, Howard?
Yeah, I agree, sure.
We're going to be down there in the dark with all sorts of strange creatures.
Yeah.
Mm, mice?
Really?
Rats?
Oh.
Lizards and all sorts of things.
You know, you don't have to go down there if you don't want to, Kathy.
And cockroaches, too.
None of us have to go down there. But after all, it's only a statue.
Why, Mr. Tripod, surely you are not frightened of the sewers?
Me? Oh, no, of course not. That is, as long as there aren't any slimy plants.
Oh, Howard, don't be like that. Where's your sense of...
I know. Where's my sense of adventure? Okay, fine. Let's go into the sewers. Let's go.
Are you quite certain, Mr.
Tripod? I'm positive, Boris. Go on. Lead the way. Let's go hunting for the statue.
Very well. I'll simply open the door, and then we may proceed.
Holy cow. Look at that. It's pitch dark. You can't see a thing.
Then how can I look at it?
You have a pack of matches in your pocketbook, don't you, Kathy?
I think so.
Why don't you strike one so we can see where we are?
That's a good idea, Howard. Well, I'll be fishing around for a little bit.
Gosh, what a place. I get the feeling that it goes on for miles.
It most certainly does. In fact, sewers are said by many to be quite similar to telephone lines.
In what way, Boris?
Eventually, one way or another, they all interconnect.
Do you mean that we could get virtually anywhere in Europe by traveling around here in the sewers?
That is correct, Mr. Tripod. Asia as well.
Huh.
Most people do not consider the sewers to be a viable travel option, however.
I never dreamed it was so complex.
Yes. In fact, many wars could have been won if the sewers were used to transport troops.
Well, why weren't they?
The going gets very rough at times, and there is nobody that possesses the maps for all of the many systems. So there was no guarantee that the troops could avoid getting helplessly lost.
How about that? Did you find a match yet, Kathy?
Yes, and I'm going to light it.
Wow.
endless corridors in every direction imaginable.
It's so huge.
Yes, how are we ever going to find out where that statue is?
I have heard rumors that the statue is underneath Wally Truberg Street, which is on the other side of town.
But how do we get there from here?
Well, it's easy enough to find above ground. However, there's no entrance to the sewers that I know of over there. So we must get there somehow using one of these passageways.
Which one? The odds must be 1,000 to 1 against us.
That is a decision which must be made logically and scientifically.
Well, I suppose you know more about that kind of stuff than Kathy or I do. After all, I get the impression that you've been dealing with things like this for most of your life. And the biggest thing we've had to do is try to adjust to life in our new Long Island home.
Based upon careful calculations, I would say the best path to take would be that little one to the right, over there.
Ooh.
That should take us where we're going.
Gosh, I certainly hope so. I'd really like to find the statue as quickly as possible. Not that I mind being here. I'm not scared or anything like that. Kathy, what is it? What's wrong? Did you see a ghost or a monster or something?
No! I burned myself with this match!
And so our friends continue their search for the statue in the sewers of Nice. And you want to be with us next time when we'll hear Boris say...
I forgot to tell you, there are light switches on all of the walls.
That's next week on the exciting adventures of the Tripod Family, a presentation of Radio Free Long Island and the Three Village Tobacco Farms. This is Don Topeka.
You may hear it from construction workers. You may hear it from kindergartners. Oh, you'll hear it from bus drivers and policemen and even drugstore counter help. The proverbial question that has been passed down from generation to generation and will continue to be passed down to even more generations. The question of what's for lunch?
Good morning. Today, Friday, May 3rd, at Kelly Cafeteria for lunch, Sloppy Joe's fried clam with French fries. The hot deli menu is Monte Cristo. Dinner is baked fish, sausage and pepper hero, and fettuccine Alfredo. Lunch at H is scalloped beef and noodles, spinach souffle. Their hot deli menu is baked ham. Dinner is pork chop with herb stuffing, beef and broccoli, and stuffed shells. North Cafeteria for lunch is serving buffalo wings with celery and blue cheese, pasta primavera. Their hot deli menu is a Monte Cristo. Dinner is lasagna, baked lemon fish, veal cordon bleu. The meal plan office will be taking pictures for next year between 9 and 4. Mm. The meal card is changing, so everybody that has to be on it next year and has to come up and have a new picture taken. Thanks again for calling the FSA hotline.
An exciting bit of news there. That's right, you too can get your picture taken on a meal card. I guess folks in the real world don't understand what the concept of a meal card is. Well, you gotta go around campus with this card, and it's got your face on it, and a magnetic strip on the back, which probably also has your face on it somewhere. And you present that every time you buy food, and it deducts something from an account somewhere. Until that fateful day when you buy too much food and it tells you you can't buy any more. Then you starve. Happens all the time. But we don't have time to deal with it now. We're just too rushed and busy. It's 23 minutes after 11 o'clock, and I don't know where the time is going. But I'll tell you something interesting. I don't know, perhaps people can help me out here and tell me if I sound spaced, because I feel spaced. I've been up for 2 days now, and this happens occasionally. Happens usually right after the hacker meeting I go to once a month, where We wind up staying out very, very late and not getting home until 10 o'clock in the morning. And when you get home at 10 o'clock in the morning, you know, you're faced with a choice. Do you try to go to sleep, you know? Have you ever gone to sleep at 10 in the morning when you're not used to going to sleep at 10 in the morning? And then you wake up at like 6 in the evening, and it's starting to get dark, and all the TV shows are on, and then people are coming home from work. And then you're up, and you can't go to sleep when you usually go to sleep, so you're back to the 10 o'clock in the morning cycle. And I don't know, that just wasn't for me, so I decided to stay up and greet the day, as it were. And what a day it turned out to be. It was really, really kind of neat, you know? It was kind of neat to just sort of hang out all day long and watch the sun come up and watch it go higher and higher up into the sky and then go back down again on the other side and disappear. You know, I think we need to spend days like that every now and then where we just sort of, I hate to say waste time, but I guess that's sort of what we're doing. You need to sort of sit back, relax, and just let the sun beat down on your face or wherever you like it to beat down on. And I find it works especially well at those times when you can least afford to do it. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there now that have to study. You know, they have to study for finals or whatever school they're going to, whatever classes they're taking. They got to write papers. They got to take tests. They got to line up in front of execution, firing squads, all kinds of unpleasant things like that. But I found a secret that I am willing to share. And that is that at that time, when you have to stay in 24 hours a day studying, writing, reading, and all that other garbage that they make you do, if at one point you just suddenly say, enough, I'm just going to not do anything for about 12 hours or maybe even longer than that, even though I know I can't possibly afford to do this, I'm going to do it anyway. And so you do. You walk around outside and you just sort of loaf around all day long. What happens is, when you're done with that, you're in such a better frame of mind that whatever time you have lost, you have gained in desire. Because you're almost eager to get back to whatever it was that you took a break from doing. All right, maybe it doesn't work all the time. Maybe it doesn't work for everybody, but I think it works. I encourage people out there who are studying their brains out, take a break. Take a break and go outside now. Serious, go outside now and look at the stars. Stars are incredible. I mean, they're really so incredible. I was walking around all day today just looking at trees and birds and you know, various bits of wildlife that are all around. Even here, even, you know, shopping mall land. A few of them have survived, and it's just incredible to see. And to see it without having to rush, you know, just by laying back and letting spring happen to you. If tomorrow's a good day, try it tomorrow. And let me know next week if you failed all your courses or if it actually helped. Okay, we've got open phone lines. And I know there's some moron in the station that keeps picking up the phone. Listen, if they do it again, okay, if they pick up the phone, pass along this message to me, okay? Excuse me. You are a moron. You are not supposed to be picking up the phone. You have distinct orders from the master control room where all the power and all the transmission is taking place. If you continue to pick up the phone, grievous things will happen to you and your offspring at whatever future date that you happen to have offspring. All right? So 632-6901, if someone other than me picks up, you may pass along that message and hopefully it will never happen again. You got to deal with things like this. We also have a couple of other features. Boy, did I depress everybody with all the Bangladesh story before? Maybe, you know, I have the distinct feeling that, you know, I've been up here for 2 days. Not up here, but up, you know, as in awake for 2 days. And maybe I'm just speaking gibberish. Maybe I'm speaking backwards. I can't tell because everything is kind of blurry and you know, your thoughts are kind of wandering around back and forth in kind of a strange, non-linked way. It's kind of pleasant, actually. But maybe I'm not making any sense. Maybe I'm speaking some bizarre tongue, and it's all coming out. Or maybe I forgot to turn the transmitter on again. You know?
We've had cases where people have done their entire shows here without realizing that the transmitter had gone down. And they felt pretty silly. Well, I think the transmitter is on. Okay, got one phone call. That's nice. But I'm sure we can do better than that. We've got five lines altogether. So last week we had all five lit at this time. So let's get a couple more in there. 632-6901. Oh, maybe I should give you a suggestion as to what to call in about. Well, what do you think of Dan Quayle as vice president? Do you think he's one step closer than he was last week when we first started talking about this? Do you think us talking about this is a jinx and will bring him all the closer to the White House? Maybe we should just stop doing it? You know, that kind of question. Also, we need submissions. We didn't get any submissions for our stupid questions. Well, we have a stupid question, fortunately, because I met a stupid person this week and I was able to ask them for a good stupid question.
Get down there. Tickets are $17 with the student ID, $22.50 for the public. And they're available at the Stony Brook box office and the Ticketmaster for all locations. You can charge it by phone by calling 888-9-GRAND, man. The show starts at 8 o'clock, and it's at the brand new indoor sports complex on the campus of State University at Stony Brook. For more information, you can check out the box office at 632-6464.
List on you when you're trying to go home. List on you when you're there all alone.
I've heard enough.
Bob Dylan at Stony Brook, you gotta be there, man.
$22.50 for a concert. I don't know. I have continuing problems with huge amounts of money to see somebody sing a song or two. That's not right, because I paid $10 for a concert something like 5 years ago, and inflation has not gone up by 120% or whatever since that time. So, I don't know. I'm certainly not getting paid that amount double or whatever since that period. But I guess Bob Dylan is worth it, isn't he? Well, we'll find out, won't we, Tuesday night. 632-6901 is our telephone number. Let's see who's out there. Good evening.
How you doing?
Hey, I'm okay. How are you?
Okay, I got a stupid question for you.
All right.
Okay, call up a bowling alley.
Uh-huh.
And say you have a friend that's a basketball player, and you like to go bowling, and ask him if you have size 21 shoe.
Hey, that's good. I like that. Size 21 shoe. Now, I'm a size 10 and a half, so a 21 shoe would be phenomenal, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, I'm saying, you know, let's say the guys, you know, say like you guys, your buddy's Michael Jordan or something.
So, okay, the good question would be then, what would they say if they don't have a 20? Are they saying your friend can't bowl there?
Yeah.
Yeah, that puts them in a spot. Maybe they'll make an exception for this person. And if we can get them to do that, that would be good.
And I know I got a friend out there, Rick, if he's listening, he's going to call up and give you another one, too.
Okay. Hey, keep the creative thoughts coming. That's a good one.
Okay, no problem.
All right. I know USB listeners are good for this kind of thing because you've come through in the past with all kinds of creative ideas. So, okay. Size 21 shoe. That's a good one. I like that one. Good evening.
Hi, this is Rick, the one Dad just told you about.
Okay.
Hi, I got a great one. It's really funny.
All right, what do you got?
It's really stupid and it's really funny.
All right, well, that's the best kind. Stupid and funny. That's what we want here.
All right, so you call up like a deli or a 7-Eleven.
Uh-huh.
Or a supermarket or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You ask them if they have olive oil in a jar.
Oh, come on.
Hold on. Listen.
And you better let her out, right?
Let me talk. And when they say yes, then you say, Papa's getting really mad. You better let him out.
All right. I've heard it 1,500 times before. Good evening.
Yeah, this might be a little old, but
okay.
Kind of like on the philosophical kind of side, you know. Why do you drive on a parkway?
On a driveway. isn't that George Carlin or something?
I don't know. I heard it from my friend.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Next time I get pulled over by a state trooper, I'll ask him that.
Sounds good.
I'm sure that'll take the heat off me. Okay.
Great.
Thanks for calling.
No problem.
By the way, you know, I saw, and maybe somebody can help me out here. I've been asking people this, and nobody seems to know. Speaking of state troopers, I saw a new line of police cars driving around the other day. That's the Brookhaven Department of Public Safety. Brookhaven Town Department of Public Safety. And nobody seems to know who they are and what they do.
If anybody out there knows, please tell me. Are they like Suffolk County cops? They have red lights on their cars, and they're Brookhaven Town Department of Public Safety. I don't know who they are or what they're enforcing, but I'd sure like to learn. 632-6901. Good evening.
Your quail quotes were priceless.
Oh, well, thank you. They weren't my quotes. I have to give all the credit to him.
Oh, except they almost caused an accident. I was listening in the car and laughing so hard I was having trouble driving.
Oh, that's, you gotta be careful.
You have to laugh or else you'd cry, you know.
Don't listen to quail and drive at the same time.
Oh.
That could be a real problem if he does become president and starts giving press conferences and it's broadcast on the radio.
Look, we went through Reagan.
Yeah, except...
He wasn't that much better at putting an English sentence together.
Yeah, but this guy seems to have a lot more vigor and a lot more ambition to say the wrong thing at the wrong time.
Did it ever strike you as really strange that someone like Marilyn Quayle married him? Because she seems like a bright person.
Well, I don't really know anything about her. Tell me about her.
I don't know much either, other than that she seems a lot more intelligent than he does.
Mm-hmm.
And I've wondered why... You know, why did she decide to hook up with someone like that?
I wonder why Bush decided to hook up with somebody like that, too. Maybe he's like the devil or something. And
I think he did his insurance to make sure no one would assassinate him.
I don't know. He must have this endearing quality. He looks you in the eye and says, yes, you will do this for me, won't you? And you have to do it for him. And he's gotten Bush and he's gotten his wife. And who knows how many other innocent people have fallen victim to the evil of Dan Quayle.
No. I can't see him as evil. Mm-mm.
Well, evil in kind of a benign kind of a way?
You know, it's like...
I mean, you know, he's being controlled by some outside force, no doubt.
Okay, yeah. Controlled by some evil outside force.
Right, and that they're hosting inside him.
Yeah, you know,
he's
it takes
them,
a
right.
certain level of mental development in order to know good from evil.
Uh-huh.
And he's too innocent for that.
He's innocent, which is why... He allowed this evil force to take up residence inside him.
Mm-hmm.
I have this whole theory that I've just made up here, and I'm gonna write it out and type it up and
uh-huh.
post it someplace. That's it's a very good question. You know, why does he get where? You know, we could learn something from that. We really could. I mean, it's something to underachievers everywhere. You know, first Bart Simpson and Dan Quayle.
Great show.
Okay, thanks for calling.
All right, bye-bye.
632-6901. That is our telephone number, and we're taking phone calls, in case you haven't noticed. And in a moment, we're going to be making a couple of phone calls, so get your calls in now, and we're going to take some more suggestions for stupid questions. We have a stupid question for this week, by the way. We're taking suggestions for stupid questions for the weeks to come. Good evening.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
I want to know who elected Dan Quayle.
Well,
people drinking when they decided to push that button on a machine?
It might have been a massive malfunction or something.
I don't... Maybe he paid somebody to do something with a computer. You ever think of that?
Well, you know, that's just it. You see, it's not computerized yet. When it is computerized, you're going to see all kinds of neat things like that. Oh, you will, believe me.
Think of what's going
to
happen.
When you voted, you didn't get to vote for vice president. You voted for president and vice president, right? Isn't that how it works? So you don't get to separate the two. Like, you could have voted for, Geraldine Ferraro and George Bush. And wouldn't it be something if the two of them had won and they had to pair up? You know? I think that would have been a lot of fun. Except she wasn't running, was she? It was whatever that guy's name was. I even forget who he was. Benson, I think.
I don't know. I want to forget.
Yeah, I think we're all going to want to forget in 1996. That's the Quayle year in my book. Assuming Bush survives the next few years, which I think he will... I can't imagine how he could get Quayle 96, though, unless the American public is just so drugged by then that they really don't know the difference.
I hate to say this on the radio, and no offense to George Bush, but his wife is just downright ugly. You ever notice that?
Well, you know, I don't want to comment on looks, because if I commented on looks, I'd be commenting all night. But I judge people by what they say.
Does he actually
That's why I talk to people on the phone.
I don't know, man. Does he actually have to go to bed with her or something? I don't know. That's scary.
All right. We don't like to give kids nightmares out there, do we? Good evening.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm just fine. How are you?
Yeah. I woke up this afternoon and I was very upset.
Yeah, so was I. What was going on?
Listen.
No, actually, I was up all afternoon. That's why I was upset.
Well, listen to this.
Yeah.
There have been several rumors circulating, I think that's the word,
well, you know what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, circulating.
Yeah, that's it.
That's the one.
Around the political circles, that along with the shortness of breath that George Bush has suffered, he also stubbed his toe.
Uh-oh.
I don't know if this is true. All right, don't hold me
Did you hear that on CNN? Because CNN keeps reporting these things, and there's no basis to them whatsoever.
Well, you know the new World Football League. They broke in the game to report that he stubbed his toe. I know this.
Which toe was it?
I think it was his left pinky toe.
That's a bad one to stub. They take forever to heal.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Alrighty. I also had something to cut.
They're also hard to clip. You notice that?
All right, this will be really quick.
You feel like you're going to clip your whole toe off if you do it wrong.
Yeah. All right, listen to this.
You always have to clip it once a year, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I think these Dan Quayle things are hilarious, and the stupid jokes things.
Well, we got to keep those Dan Quayle quotes coming. The only way to do that is to get him to talk. You notice he hasn't said a word about any of this Bush stuff tonight. They've kept him away from the microphones, and they're doing that intentionally because they don't want any more Dan Quayle quotes. And I say...
I heard him speaking about going past to the back.
Uh-huh.
Dude, that was the funniest thing in the entire world. And also, the stupid question is pretty funny, too.
Okay, we're going to get to that in just a little bit. Thanks for calling.
All right.
All right. We've got... what feature do we have here? I'm sorry. What's my producer saying to me? Okay, we've got that feature coming up now. Stupid Questions is next after this particular feature, which is, of course... winner of an award, which we're not quite certain we've won yet, so we're not going to mention it. It's Confuse the Operator, where we reach out and grab some poor soul and try to make them wish they had never been born. It's all in good fun. Now, let me preface this by explaining something to our listeners. When the phone company broke up back in 1984, basically you were left with your local phone company, which in our case is called New York Telephone, okay? New York Telephone is our local phone company. When you pick up the phone, they're the ones that give you the dial tone. And then you have your long-distance companies, and among the long-distance companies are AT&T, Sprint, and MCI. Okay, those are three long-distance companies. Now, the whole term of the breakup was that there is no connection and everybody is equal. In other words, AT&T, MCI, and Sprint are all equal now, and there is no connection between AT&T, Sprint, MCI, or your local phone company, New York Telephone. No connection whatsoever. So, let's reach out and touch a New York Telephone operator and ask her what the story is here. Sometimes it takes them a while.
New York Telephone. Ah. One moment, please.
They have to play that now. It's a law.
Operator?
Yes, hello. I was wondering if you can connect me to an MCI operator.
I don't know the number. Let me connect the information.
New York Telephone Line. May I help you?
This is information, isn't it?
Yes.
And I suppose there's a charge for this call. That was a very nasty thing to do for that operator to connect me to you, isn't it? Oh, well.
What is it you wanted?
Well, I wanted to be connected to an MCI operator, and the local operator connected me to information. And I know there's a charge for information, so now... I'm going to have to pay 45 cents for this call, and I won't even get an MCI operator, will I?
No, hold it. Why should it that? Because I have to give it a number for the MCI operator.
Okay, what's the number for the MCI operator?
Hold on a second.
This ought to be good.
And that's the number you don't have to pay. The 800 number?
An 800 number, okay.
444-3333.
444...
3333.
3333.
Right.
Okay.
Dial one first.
All right. And that's 800 call.
Right.
All right.
Have a good night.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You too. Good night. Now, what you didn't mention, of course, was that that was local information. I could have called 800 information and gotten an 800 number and not paid anything. But that's not how they do things in the phone company, is it? Okay. So, that's what happens when we try asking for an MCI operator from our local New York telephone operator. Okay, makes sense. There's no connection. They shouldn't be able to connect us to a long-distance operator, right? Of course not. Doesn't make sense. Let's see if they connect us to a Sprint operator. Here's a stupid recording again.
New York telephone. One moment, please.
Miss Fly, can I help you?
Yes. Hi, operator. I was wondering if you could connect me to a U.S. Sprint operator.
What is the number?
I'm trying to reach U.S. Sprint.
Do they have a toll-free number?
I don't know what... Just an operator. You know, a long-distance operator.
Are you calling? Long distance?
Yeah, I'm trying to get long distance.
One moment, please.
One moment for an operator who can assist you. Thank you.
Now, she's connecting me to long distance. I asked for Sprint. I wonder if I'll get Sprint.
AT&T.
Oh, this is AT&T?
Yes.
It's funny, because I asked my local operator to connect me to Sprint.
Oh, okay. You want to try it again?
Well, can you connect me to Sprint?
No, sir.
Can you tell me how to call Sprint?
We have no idea how to call each other carrier.
You don't know how to call them?
We don't know how to call Sprint or MCI.
So I guess you use AT&T too, then.
Well, of course.
All right. Okay, well, thanks anyway.
Welcome.
Okay, well, then we know that AT&T... Okay, we got to start writing this down here. AT&T will not tell us how to reach Sprint. New York Telephone, when asked to connect us to Sprint, will connect us to AT&T. And New York Telephone, when asked to connect us to MCI, will connect us to information, which will then charge us. All right, there's still a couple other things we have to try here. We have to try calling our local operator and asking for AT&T. Maybe they'll connect us to MCI, okay? Maybe it's just a clerical blunder. Stupid recording time.
New York telephone. One moment, please.
Sure, no problem. I've got plenty of time to sit here and wait for the stupid
operator?
Recording. Yes, hello, operator. I was wondering if you could connect me to the AT&T operator. Sure, no problem. Oh,
one
wonderful.
Moment for an operator who can assist
How
you.
How nice. You know,
thank you.
It's amazing to think that there's no connection between these companies anymore. Well, let's ask AT&T if they can connect us or tell us how to call MCI.
AT&T.
Hi, I was wondering if you could tell me how to call the MCI operator.
I have no idea, sir. I'm AT&T.
You're AT&T and you have no... Okay, all right, thanks anyway.
Bye, sir.
I happen to know... I've been holding out on you, folks. I happen to know the number... for the 8 MCI operator. That's not the number they gave us. That was like the business office. This will get us an actual operator. And we can ask the MCI operator if they know how to connect us or if they know how to tell us to dial AT&T. Let's see how fair this whole system is.
Thank you for calling MCI. This is Jan. How may I help you?
Hi. I was wondering if you could possibly tell me how to call an AT&T operator.
Yes, I can. It's 10288+0.
Okay, that's great. I was wondering, do you possibly know why AT&T never tells you how to call MCI, but MCI seems to always tell you how to call AT&T?
Because we're better people.
You know, I was toying with that idea. I think that might be it. Right. Thanks very much.
You're just... great guys.
Yeah, well, I think you're proving that here. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling MCI.
Okay, good night.
Good night.
All right, let's try one more phone call here, and this will be to U.S. Sprint. All right? I also have the number for their operators. Let's see if they'll tell us how to call AT&T. I hope you're writing all this down too, folks, because it's confusing us as well as the operators, but we're certainly learning something here. It's a sobering thing. Oh, by the way, we're going to get a tone here first. And then it's going to turn into an operator. It's kind of a silly system, but that's the way they do it. Just waiting for the tone to go around is what we're doing. Here we go.
Sprint
long distance. May I help you?
Yes, hi. I was wondering if you could possibly tell me how to connect to an AT&T operator?
Okay, sir. For the phone you're using, you dialed the 1-800 number to reach Sprint, correct?
I dialed the 1-800 number, yes, but I just wanted to know if it was possible for me to dial an AT&T operator and how to do that.
Well, okay, not knowing what you're dialing from, normally you could either dial 00 depending on who your phone's pre-subscribed to.
Uh-huh.
If you had to dial a 1-800 number to reach me, you may have Sprint on your line. I mean, you may have AT&T, excuse me, in which case you could dial 00. If not, you could dial their access code, sir, and I can give that to you.
Okay, what's that?
It's 102-880.
Okay, 102-880 will get me AT&T. I'd like to ask you something, or I'll have you on the line.
Yes, sir.
How come when I ask AT&T the same question with regards to Sprint, they never tell you how to get a hold of Sprint, but Sprint almost always tells you how to get a hold of AT&T. Is there a reason for that?
Well, we're just trained to provide whatever information the customer asks.
I see. Well, I'm glad you are. Thanks very much.
And thank you for using Sprint, sir.
Okay.
You have a good day.
You too. What nice people. And folks, hopefully you'll think twice now when you stand up on your soapbox and say AT&T has been around for centuries and they're the better long-distance company. Well, look at what they're doing here. They're refusing to tell you how to get a hold of their competition. And they're still in bed with the local phone company, New York Telephone. New York Telephone connects you to AT&T. They don't connect you to Sprint. They don't connect you to MCI. I rest my case. That's all for Confuse the Operator today. Confuse the consumer is more like it. But the best consumer is an outraged consumer. And keep that in mind. And before we go to stupid questions, we want to get some more phone calls. 632-6901. Take a flurry of those, and then we'll top it all off with a stupid question to an unknown place. You ever get stuck in a traffic jam that shouldn't be there? It makes you want to kill somebody, you know? And that's what happened to me yesterday on the way into the city, you know? This is huge traffic jam where nobody was moving and nobody knew why. Because the idiots on the radio weren't telling anyone that the whole road was closed and had been closed for 6 hours. Oh, no, they didn't think that was important enough to convey. So you had four lanes of frustrated New Yorkers just sitting, going no place. And, you know, everybody gets on New Yorkers' cases for being violent and murdering people and all that kind of stuff that they sometimes do. But you go to a parkway or an expressway, and you'll see how patient people can be. And that's the kind of New York I'm proud to be a part of. But I could have killed somebody yesterday, I'll say that much. Good evening, what's on your mind?
Yes.
How you doing?
I called up a little earlier.
Uh-huh.
I thought I'd tell you about this new article in Time Magazine.
Okay.
Did you know about that Dianetics book?
Yeah?
Well,
L. Ron Hubbard?
Yeah. It got on the front page, and as it turns out, it's a whole scam.
A whole scam? No.
Yes. Check this out. I couldn't believe this. Guy like died recently, a couple years ago, and now it's like headed by this new guy. But it's like Scientology, and they say that they're religion, but it's kind of like they put like Tammy and Jim Baker, like they're like nothing compared to these guys.
Oh, I'm sure they're not.
So like, you know how it says like it's a million like copies sold and stuff like that.
Uh huh.
What they're saying, what they do is they send their people out, and then like they buy the book. And what was it? B. Dalton was saying how they were getting books sent to them by their company, you know, with their price stickers already on it, which is like an indication that it's recycled copies.
Wow.
And like they're just trying to show that it's, you know, they're trying to put up like a big image that he's a great author, but he's just trying to like suck people into like his religion and stuff.
Well,
like,
you know,
that.
it's sort of like the Peter Lemongello syndrome. You know, you never actually see anybody buying it, but supposedly it's really selling a lot somehow.
Yeah.
It's hard to explain. Listen, sir, I want to get on some more people I haven't called in yet. Thanks for calling, though.
Oh, okay.
All right, 632-6901. Good evening.
Yeah, how you doing?
What's up?
Can I give you two stupid questions?
Okay, make them fast.
Okay, number one, go call up like a coffee shop.
Uh-huh.
If I get decaffeinated coffee, can I drink it at a decaffeinated coffee table?
Oh, that's very good. Do you have decaffeinated seating?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, definitely. All right, what else?
And call a chemo and ask him if they have boxer shorts with a name on them. Like in the movie Rain Man.
What, with the name of a boxer?
No, with boxer shorts with your own name.
Oh.
They're like with Eric on.
Okay. Well, I'd sure like to know if they do have that, actually. That would be very handy.
Okay, and that other thing that happened to Bush, he did not stub his toe. He took an ice pick and he shoved it in his ear.
Oh, he's not doing that again. Okay. Good evening.
Hi, I have a stupid question.
Okay,
I have a Dan Quayle quote that I heard a couple of years ago.
A couple of years ago, okay.
For the stupid question.
Yeah.
Pull up the money store, and you go, holy cow, is Phil Rizzuto there? And the operator goes, yeah. He says, there's no Phil Rizzuto. And you go, oh, holy cow, you know when we'll be back? Yeah. And it really messes him up.
Yeah, I imagine it would. Okay, and what's your Dan Quayle quote?
I heard this on, like, Johnny Carson, like, 2 years ago. They said that he was in Latin America giving a speech, and he said that, I wish I had studied Latin better in school so I could better communicate with the people of Latin America.
Oh, he had, oh. You know, I'm wondering if it's just some sort of a joke, the whole thing.
I heard from a few people that they, you know, that they heard it, that it was...
No, but I'm saying maybe he's kidding with us.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
got to be. He's, I mean, I don't know anybody that would say that. And I know lots of people that you know, are kind of like, let's just say, you know, not mainstream people, run-of-the-mill kind, you know, people that would say strange things, and I don't know anybody that would say that.
Yeah.
Boy, that's something. Well, keep listening to whatever he says, because it's bound to be good.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, thanks.
And now it's time for our newest feature. This is the second installment in this, hopefully, ongoing series, where we venture out into the world and ask a stupid question, ask probably the most stupid question we can think of at the moment. And we should caution people that when you try this, if you in fact try this, you should be careful, because there are different kinds of responses you can get. You can get utter hostility, where somebody thinks you're a complete bozo and tells you so. You get a complete non-believer who just hangs up and doesn't say a word. You get somebody who very patiently tries to explain exactly how everything works. Or you get people that are onto it and convince that the whole thing is a joke. And last week we also found another category of people, the people that don't answer the phones. But this week, we shouldn't have any problem in that department. Yes, it's time for Stupid Questions on Brain Damage. And today, we're going to go to a local fast food establishment that happens to be open now, and we're going to ask them to explain the very complicated operating procedure regarding their drive-through windows. Us having never seen such a thing before.
Pocho Taco Bell.
Yes, hello. I was hoping you could help me. I understand you have a drive-through window.
Yes, we do.
Can you explain to me how that works?
Excuse me?
Can you explain to me how that works?
Hold on a second.
Sure.
Hello?
Yes. Hello?
Yes. What was your question?
I'm trying to... I'm not sure I understand how the drive-through works. I've never used one before, and I need to know this.
Okay, you just pull up to the drive-thru menu board, and you place your order.
Okay, now where would I find this drive-thru menu board?
Okay, when you pull into the lot, you'll see it. All the cars will be in front of that menu board.
Okay, so it's in a parking lot?
Yes, it is.
Okay, now do I need a car to do this?
Yes, you do.
Okay, so I pull up in my car, and there's a menu board there. Now, I'm not quite sure I understand what I do with the menu board.
Okay, you just place your order at the menu board. There are quite a few menu items, and you can place your order by looking at that menu board.
Okay, but do I speak to somebody?
Excuse me?
Do I speak to somebody, or do I write it out?
No, you will speak through the menu board itself.
I speak through a board? I'm not sure I understand.
Okay, all you have to do is drive up to the menu board, and it'll all fall in place.
It'll all fall in place.
Well.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Always wait for them to hang up. Let's see. Well, we had two participants there, so I would label that as helpful, but slightly impatient. And that's going to just about do it for us here on Brain Damage this week. Please, 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 please keep your stupid questions coming in, and you can mail them to us at Stupid Questions, care of Brain Damage, care of WUSB, care of the State University of New York at Stony Brook, Stony Brook, New York, 11794. And we'll be back again next week with stupid questions and facts and figures and all kinds of other things. Till then, have fun, be good, and keep your eyes open. And keep your ears peeled, because Cabretta is coming up next. I'm going to go home and get some sleep. And what costumes ever for girl wear? To all tomorrow's party. A hand-me-down dress from who knows where. Brain Damage is underwritten by a grant from the Little Computer Shop, located in the Model Shopping Mall in Centereach. Phone number 467-4352. The Little Computer Shop stocks the latest in hardware, software, and computer publications.